All right, guys, welcome to the Saluda Baptist Church Youth Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brandon, and I'm excited that you've chose to join us this week as we recap this week in our youth ministry here at Saluda Baptist Church. So this week on our podcast, we have a lot of cool things that we're going to talk about. Later on in the episode, we're going to just go over our Graduate Sunday that happened this past Sunday, just go over a little bit more about in detail what we do with that. We're also going to answer some questions that actually pertain to the lesson for the week that we're going through on Wednesday nights for our youth group. And of course, like always, we're going to go through that text that we studied on Wednesday night. So to not delay, not waste any time, let's get started. We're going to jump into our first segment, which is the scripture of the week. So going through that scripture that we talk about on Wednesday nights. And so we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are finally in chapter 6. So the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's there on the mountain talking to the 12 with a crowd of people around him, and he is walking through what the Christian life looks like, what it looks like to be a part of this kingdom that Jesus has said is now here. The kingdom of God is now here, and he's walking through, hey, what does it look like to be a citizen of that kingdom? And so the idea that we get really early on from the beginning of chapter 5 going through the Beatitudes is that, you know, someone that is of the kingdom of God is different. They don't live like everyone else in the world. They're different. They're not of this world anymore. They're called to be different. And so today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Now, there's a lot here to unpack. And so we're going to try to do our best to go over everything well. But I'm just going to kind of put out there to begin with that this really would requires deeper study to really unpack everything that's here. And we're not going to be able to do that in the short time that we have. So we're just going to get started. So going through these first 18 verses, like I said, there's a lot here, but I think if we wrap everything up, there's one overarching question that I think we can gather from this that we need to ask ourselves. When it comes to things that we do as Christians, you know, whatever it is you do because you're a Christian, you know, if that's praying, tithing, going to a worship service, serving at a church in some capacity, whatever it is, when it comes to that stuff that we do, why do we do those things? Why do you do it? Whatever it is that you do, why do you do it? And I think that's the overarching question that we can ask. And so when we begin here in Matthew chapter 6, we start in verse 1. It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven." So in verse 1, Jesus really sets the stage for what he's about to talk about. When you practice your righteousness. Now, righteousness is something that Jesus has talked about previously. You know, he's talked about how we need to have a righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, these were men that were devoted to the law. They meticulously knew the law. They knew it inside and out. And they sought to obey and follow every small detail, every rule, every statute, every ordinance that was in the law. And so when Jesus said, hey, your righteousness needs to surpass theirs, that was a very big task because, you know, their righteousness, the things that people saw that they did for God, was above, you know, most people. So how do you surpass that? And Jesus went on to say, hey, this is a righteousness that is in the heart, that starts in the heart. That's something that only God can do, that only he can start, only he can initiate. And it's something that can't just be seen on the outside, but it's a change in the heart. And so he starts by saying that when we practice our righteousness, we don't do it for others to see. Right. And then he says, otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So that's the main idea. When we practice our righteousness, when we do those things for the Lord, that right living, living the way he wants us to live, we don't do those things for others to see. And that's the main point of everything that we see here in these verses, in this section. It's not doing things for others to see. So why do you do those things? And that was the question, you know, whatever it is you do, why do you do it? If it's for others to see you, you're already starting wrong. Because Jesus is saying, don't do those things for others to see. And, you know, when I think about the church, and, you know, I just think about, you know, people that leave the church or people that, you know, don't want to come into a church building. If you ask them, hey, you know, why don't you want to come to church, or why did you leave the church? You know, they're going to have many different responses. You know, some of them might just, it might be as simple as, hey, I think a church service is too long. You know, I don't enjoy this type of music. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't like organized religion. Some people may have been hurt by the church. Some people may think that churches are just trying to get your money. But there are so many people out there that don't come to church because they say it's full of hypocrites. Now, a hypocrite is someone that claims that they believe something, claims that they have that they stand on a certain, you know, side, that this is their position. They claim that, but then they don't live a life that demonstrates they truly believe that. That's what a hypocrite is. And so for a lot of people, they won't come to the church because they say, hey, it's just full of hypocrites, which is true. You know, if you really think about it, all of us are broken. All of us are still under the curse of sin. So there are going to be things, there are going to be times that we are going to fall and we're going to sin and we're going to fall astray. And in those moments, we are hypocrites because, you know, we say we believe in the scripture, but in those moments when temptation comes and we fall, we are in that moment being a hypocrite. But here in this section, Jesus is going to warn against us acting like the hypocrites. Now, like I said, this is something very easily for us to fall into, being a hypocrite. And especially, you know, when you go through the day-to-day, week-to-week stuff that we do in church, it can be so easy to get into this place where we're doing all these things and we forget why we're doing it. So we start doing it for the wrong reason and we fall into this hypocrisy. And that's what Jesus is warning about. And so he's going to give three examples of three things that in the Jewish culture, they practice regularly in their worship. And there are also three things that even today as Christians, we practice regularly, or most Christians practice regularly. There might be a couple that, you know, we don't practice as much, but we probably should. And so these three things are giving, prayer, and fasting. And so what Jesus does, he's going to bring up these three things that, you know, the scribes and Pharisees and other religious people did often, but that they did in the wrong way. They did for the wrong reason. They had the wrong why. Why do you do that? And they had the wrong why. So the first thing that we see that Jesus addresses here says in verse 2, so whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, first, Jesus addresses giving. Now, giving is something that's commanded throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New. We are called to be giving. And even in the Sermon on the Mount, we just went through how Jesus was calling us to give and be people that give and help the poor, help the needy. And so giving is something that we should do. If that's giving to the poor, if that's helping someone else, if that's giving of our time and service, if that's the tithe that we give to the Lord in money and in our time, that's all giving. And what we see Jesus warn against is that when we give to the poor, when we help those that are in need, when we give in whatever capacity, we shouldn't do it, as he says, to sound a trumpet or to announce it before everyone. You know, I think about all those Facebook posts where people are, you know, giving or helping someone, they record it and they post it, which is cool. You know, it's cool to see that. That makes us feel good. But ultimately, like when you post that, you're wanting to be seen. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't do it to sound the trumpet that you're giving, because that's going to be your reward. When other people are noticing you, and when you're doing that thing for other people's praise and not just for the Lord's, your reward is their praise, and that's it. But instead, Jesus uses this phrase, and he uses it several times here in the section. So your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, giving, just like anything else that we do, it shouldn't be done for others to see, but it should be done for that audience of one, for God to see. And so when we ask that question, why do I do whatever it is I do? If any part of that answer has to do with, hey, well, my parents want me to go to Sunday school, so that's why I wake up early, or my parents, you know, really like that I go on these trips or that I take part in these mission trips, or my friends are doing that, so I like to do that so they see me doing the same things that they do, or, you know, I've been in this place, hey, well, there's this girl, and, you know, I want her to see that I'm doing whatever. If any part of the why has anything other than because God is calling me to do it, because I want him to see me doing that for him, then we're doing it from the wrong place. And that's going against what he warned in verse 1, that we shouldn't practice our righteousness for others to see, but it's only for him, only for our heavenly Father. Then in verse 5, it says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Now, again, when it comes to prayer, it's like, hey, when you pray, and I think this is something we got to point out at this point. It says, when you give, whenever you give, when you pray. And then when we get to the third one, fasting, whenever you fast. Jesus is expecting his followers to do these things. So if we're not praying, if we're not giving, if we're not fasting, we're going to talk more about that, what that is in a minute. We're going against something Jesus is expecting us to do. And so he's saying, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, those people that are claiming that they're following me, but they're just praying because they want people to hear them. You know, they stand out in front of the people, they're standing on the corners, and they're praying so that they can be seen by everybody that walks by. The only reward they're going to get is the recognition of those people. You know, when we pray, we're supposed to pray sincerely. You know, a sincere prayer, talking to the Lord, not for other people, not to impress other people, but a sincere prayer to him. And not only should it be a sincere prayer, but it needs to be a secret prayer. He goes on in verse 8, it says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When we pray, that's a conversation that we're having between us and the Lord. Now, is Jesus prohibiting public prayer here? No. Is Jesus prohibiting us praying with others? No, absolutely not. That's not what Jesus is saying. When we say, hey, it needs to be a secret prayer, it means that the prayer that we say is something that is secret within our hearts, that we're praying to the Lord, and it's not about what other people see. It's not condemning public prayer. It's not condemning that. But when we are talking to the Lord, just us and the Lord, that is something that's secret. That is something that's between us and him and shouldn't be done for other people to see. That's not saying we shouldn't pray with our fellow brothers and sisters, you know, pray with them on, you know, God's behalf, pray with them, pray for them, pray publicly. That's not condemning that here. Jesus is saying, even when you're doing that, maybe you're leading a group of people in prayer. Are you praying for them? Are you praying so they can later go and talk about, oh, well, he prayed so well? Or are you praying secretly to the Lord? And you're just doing that publicly and leading a public time of prayer. I know there's been times in my life where, you know, I've been asked to pray at an event. And even at Salute Baptist, I've been asked to pray at an event, and I prayed. And I genuinely was like, God, I just want to talk to you. Like, I prayed beforehand. Hey, just help me to pray like I'm praying to you. And I had people come up to me and be like, oh, that was such a good prayer and yada, yada, yada. And it was so easy for me to get big headed, right? And be like, oh, they thought I was something. But then this comes up and it's like Jesus is reminding us, hey, when you pray, other people may be blessed from it. They may compliment you on it, but that's between you and the Lord. That's why he goes on to say in verse 7, when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. So he's saying, you know, like the Gentiles, they would just babble on and use these big words and just say all these things because they're like, oh, the more I say or the bigger words I say, I'll be heard or God will hear me better, or I'm going to say all these words and these big things for other people. Jesus is saying, your Father knows you, he sees you, and he knows what you need before you even ask. So be sincere, pray in secret, and then be specific. Pray. Pray specifically for the things that you need. Don't feel like you have to go on and on. Use these big words because you're praying to one that knows. And then Jesus goes into the Lord's Prayer. He goes into this example. You know, therefore you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. So, you know, this is a prayer that's very popular. We know it. Many people recite it. But what we see here is Jesus is saying, so don't pray, you know, for other people to hear you. Don't pray to get recognition, but instead pray this way. He's showing them, he's teaching them. You know, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but honestly, this is more like a model prayer for the disciples. Like Jesus is teaching them, hey, pray like this. And I think it's important that we kind of break this up, because the first half, Jesus is talking to God. It starts with God. And when we pray, we're not praying for other people. We're praying just to him. So it should start with him. And what does Jesus do? Well, you know, he honors the Lord's name. We recognize who we're talking to. We are talking to the creator of the universe. He prays for his kingdom, the kingdom that he is establishing. We pray for that. That could be us promoting the kingdom, sharing the gospel, bringing more people into the kingdom, that his kingdom would grow, not just in number, but that his kingdom would grow on this earth. We're praying for his will, not what we want, but that he as the king, as the creator, that it would be his will. Jesus models this in the garden. He was about to be, you know, arrested and taken to the cross to be crucified. And he even said, God, if there's any way you could let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. We don't pray for what we want. We pray for his will. We recognize him as the creator. That's why we honor him. That's why we pray for his kingdom and pray for his will. But then in the second half of that prayer, we see that he shares his concerns with God. You know, we see that, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for your daily needs, your physical needs, your spiritual needs, because Jesus is the bread of life. Pray for those things that you need. It's okay if you're looking for a job to pray and ask God specifically, sincerely, secretly, God, I need a job. Lead me. Guide me. I'm going to this interview. Be with me in this interview. Let your will be done. It's okay to pray those things. It's okay to pray if someone is sick, someone is dying, someone is struggling with something, and you're praying for them. You're bringing that issue to the Lord. You recognize him as who he is, as holy. You're praying for his kingdom. You're praying that his will be done, but then you're bringing that need to him. That was modeled here. There's a prayer of forgiveness. Forgiveness for our debts and to our debtors. You know, we have forgiveness in Jesus. But as we live this life, we are continually being changed, continually being sanctified. We're not perfect yet. One day we will be. But as we continue to grow, we're going to still fall. We're still going to come into temptation. And so there's going to be times where we fall and we pray for forgiveness. We ask Him to forgive us. And we also pray for the strength to forgive others, because we have to forgive others as we've been forgiven. Jesus has strong words at the end of this, for if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your offenses. That's a strong statement, because Jesus is trying to get us to see the importance of us forgiving just as much as we've been forgiven. And we've talked about that over the last 2 weeks. You know, it's hard to turn the other cheek. It's hard to love your enemies. That's why Jesus says, pray for that. Pray for the strength to forgive your debtors. Pray that God will help you to forgive as you've been forgiven. And also pray for deliverance from evil, from the evil one, from those temptations, from those things that are still going to attack us because we still live in this fallen, broken world. We pray for deliverance. We pray for the strength to overcome those temptations, overcome those trials. That's how we should pray. We don't pray to make ourselves seem more important, or we don't pray to, you know, have other people think much of us, but we pray to Him. And then lastly, we see here in verse 16, it says, whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive, so their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. So again, when it comes to fasting, that denial of something, and we're going to get to that in the next section on what fasting is. But, you know, there would be those people that were fasting, denying themselves of food, and they would, you know, make themselves look weak. Just look gloomy, just look like, oh, how am I going to do this? Like, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm fasting, so that other people can recognize what they're doing. And again, Jesus is saying, hey, if you're doing it for the other people to see, that's your reward. But he ends here in verses 17 and 18, but when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So when we do fast, we rely on that strength from God. We wash our faces. We take care of ourselves. We put on, you know, the same, you know, appearance that we do every other day with His help, with His strength, to act normal and not draw attention to that we're fasting, because we're doing it for Him. And again, we go back to, why do you do the things that you do for Jesus? Why do you do those things that you do each and every day, each and every week for the Lord? And the thing that Jesus repeated three times, it should be so that your Father who sees in secret will see. Not for everyone else, not for the recognition from other people, but for Him, for the audience of one. We should give, we should pray, we should fast for rewards from our Heavenly Father, not for rewards or praise from anyone on this earth. And that is what we learn from looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. And that is our scripture of the week. So next, we move into what we call You Asked, We Answered. And so this is actually a question that was asked of me probably about a month ago, maybe a little bit over a month ago. And, you know, I answered it. I didn't really think anything about it. You know, I answered the person that asked me. And then, you know, I started preparing for this lesson. I'm like, you know, that's really a question that we probably all wonder. And the question was, what is fasting all about? What is fasting? Should we fast? There was actually, this question kind of arose from a time where there were some people saying, you know, in our context, like, oh, well, fasting is something that, you know, we don't need to do. Like, hey, if you do it, cool, but, you know, we don't need to fast, like, you know, and so there was just a confusion of like, what is fasting? And so this person asked me, and it really got me to digging into what the scripture says. And so, you know, in this section, you asked, we answered, what is fasting? And I think, and even talking with our youth, you know, you talk about, hey, what is fasting? And the first thing that, you know, they want to point to is like, oh, it's when you give something up. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to give up my cell phone for a day. And there is a part of fasting that you could say, yes, that is taking a fast. You know, if you're like, hey, I want to take a fast from my phone, or I'm going to take a social media fast for a week or whatever. That is in a way a fast. But if we're asking ourselves, what is fasting? Like Jesus says here, whenever you fast, he's talking about something specific. Like Jesus did not have this in mind when he said, whenever you fast. Now, before we continue on, I am not saying that in your life, you saying, hey, I'm going to take a break from my phone. So the time that I would spend on my phone, I'm going to spend with the Lord. Do that. That is good. That is healthy. I think that is biblical. But that's not what fasting is when we see it commanded in Scripture. And I do believe we see it commanded. I think if you take what Jesus says here, whenever you fast, and you glean from that, oh, they can fast. I don't need to. He's expecting his followers to fast. And we see throughout Scripture, fasting is talked about as something that believers do. It's a spiritual discipline. It's something that is beneficial to us as followers of Christ. So I don't think it's something that's just an option or something that they did. I think it's something for all of us. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to fast from music. I'm going to fast from, I think fasting is a specific thing. And so when we look at Scripture and we look at what is fasting, fasting is fundamentally us drawing closer to God in a time that we are abstaining from food. Abstaining from the thing that we need to survive, from food, sometimes water, that we are, instead of eating and drinking, we are instead surrendering to God and relying on Him to provide us the strength and the nourishment to go on when we don't have food or water. Fasting has to do with eating. All throughout Scripture, you're not going to see someone fasting from anything else but food and water. And the reason for that is, yes, they are fasting from that so that they can fill their life with something else, right? They're not eating, they're not drinking, so they're spending more time with the Lord. But it's more than that. It's more than just, hey, I'm going to give up A, and instead of doing A, I'm going to do B. But fasting, you're taking away that thing that gives you nourishment, that gives your body fuel, that gives your body strength to operate. And when you take away that, all you have is God. I mean, you try going 2 days, a day without eating, you're going to feel it towards the end of the day. Heck, I'm going to feel it halfway through the day. Like if I just completely I'm not drinking or not eating, you know, I've not drinking water for half a day before and I've gotten a migraine, you know, and I wasn't doing it because I was just not drinking water. I was drinking too much Mountain Dew, but I felt horrible. So think about if you're like, hey, I'm going to intentionally go a day, 2 days, a week, whatever it is, and I'm not going to eat because I'm spending time with the Lord. I want to rely on Him. You have to rely on His strength to make it through however long you decide to fast. And so in doing that, it's a way of relying on Him, and you're getting strength from Him in a time that you are emptying yourself of something that you need physically. And so that's fasting. It's not just, hey, I'm going to give up my phone so I can read my Bible instead of use my phone. But it's a time where we gain strength to do His will in our lives by giving up this thing that we need in food and having a time of intense prayer and intense focus to just hear from God and rely on Him in those moments. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that requires us to rely on Him. There's no way that you can fast apart from his power. No way. Now, there are people that, you know, oh yeah, I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna, instead of eating, I'm gonna pray. But their motive is to lose weight, right? I actually talked to a guy and he was like, hey, I think I'm thinking about doing a fast and want to lose a few pounds. And I just thought, hey, I could do this and also, you know, read my Bible and pray more. That's cool. That's awesome. But fasting isn't about losing weight. Fasting is about drawing closer to the Lord, drawing closer to Him, and trying to gain a spiritual insight, trying to gain a closeness with Him. Maybe you're trying to make a decision. Maybe there's a job decision or a move you need to make, or maybe there's a relationship decision you need to make. And so you would choose to fast so that, one, you would have more time that you're intensely praying instead of eating and reading the scripture, seeking His will. But it's also a time where you are emptying yourself of something that you need so you can draw closer to Him and rely on Him to guide you and lead you in that area. And fasting is all about relying on Him. So I think fasting gets a very bad rap, because what we've done in our modern context is we've taken the spiritual discipline of fasting from food so that we can rely on the Holy Spirit, rely on God, and seek Him instead of seeking nourishment from this world. And we've looked at that and like, hey, that's crazy. Hey, that's impossible. How can you do that? You can't go without eating. Fasting must mean give up your phone to read your Bible more, or give up TV to read your Bible and pray. When we clearly see that fasting in the scripture is abstaining from food so that we can seek Him and seek His will, seek His guidance on something. And fasting isn't just something that, oh, they used to fast, or some people can fast, but fasting is a discipline that all believers need to do so that we can draw closer to Him and seek His will in our lives. Because Jesus says, when you fast, not for those of you that do fast, but when you fast, my disciples, and if you claim to be a Christian, that's what you're saying, that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus. So Jesus is saying, when you fast from food, not your phone, not TV, not podcasts, but from your food, so that you can draw closer to me, do it just for me, not for other people to see you. And so I think fasting is something that all of us, you know, that's something that I struggle with. I've just actually recently started to do that. And, you know, it is a hard thing, because it's one of those things, if you've been taught your whole life that fasting is this, and that, and now you're trying to relearn and do it the way that the scripture teaches us, you know, you have one or two options. You can be like, oh, well, you must be wrong. The scripture, you know, maybe it really means this. Or, hey, I'm wrong, and I want to do what scripture says. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus is going to point to that and be like, hey, you know, you're either going to choose to build your life on the word, the rock, or you're going to build it on the sand. And fasting is a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. But it's something that's, when you do it, you're building your life on the rock. And that's what we should all strive for. So again, what is fasting? It's a spiritual discipline where we give up food so that we can seek the Lord, seek His will, and rely on His strength in that moment to help us, to lead us, to guide us in whatever situation that we're in. That's what fasting is. So moving on to our last little segment here. It's called Let's Talk. And so in this segment, we always just talk about things that are going on in youth ministry. And last week, we talked a little bit about our Graduate Sunday, but I just want to talk about it a little bit more since it just happened. So there are two big parts to our Graduate Sunday. The first, we have a graduate breakfast. So at our church, we always do Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:15. And then our main worship service starts at 10:30. We go from 10:30 to 11:30. And so for our Graduate Sunday, when we recognize those graduates, whether that's high school, college, whatever the case may be, we invite all of our graduates and their families to come to a breakfast during our Sunday school hour. Now, we invite our youth class, which is 6th through 12th grade, our young adult class, which is like college and career. We invite both of those classes completely to come. and then our graduates and their family. And so that breakfast is a time where we just honor our graduates. We serve them good food. We're Baptists, so we got to do that, right? But it's a time where we can just honor and celebrate them. You know, we decorate our fellowship hall. We have the families come in, the other people. We eat. And during that time, we do two big things. We have a video, a slideshow that we're showing the entire time of pictures of each graduate, you know, baby pictures, you know, some older pictures of them. And throughout, we also have notes from their families, notes of encouragement. And we give that to each of our graduates at a later date. We put it on flash drives. We give it to them so they can have that to keep. But it's just something that they can see and get some encouragement from their families and see pictures, see the pictures their families chose that they, hey, I want these 15, these 20 pictures of my child. And it's just a special thing. And then at the end, we always talk about our young adult class, and we have the teachers come up and share a little bit about the class and invite them. And that's a way that, you know, especially with our youth that are graduating high school, moving up into that, it's a way to kind of connect and bridge them into, you know, that young adult class. But for those that are already graduating college, it might be a way to pull them in that maybe they're not involved, you know? So that's the big thing that we do there for the graduate breakfast. And then we move in to our service time. And so at the very beginning of the service, after the announcements, we have a time where we will recognize our college graduates. So we, you know, have them come up, we give them a gift. We acknowledge where they graduated from, kind of what they're doing for college. And then we have our high school graduates kind of march in, the pomp and circumstances plan, you know, they're wearing their cap and gowns. And so, you know, they come in kind of like the traditional graduation style thing. And now I'll be honest, that was something I didn't like. That was something that at first, you know, I tried to subtly get rid of. But, you know, looking at it now, and getting to see, you know, even this past Sunday, those students kind of walk into that. For a lot of them, I'm not going to be able to be at the graduation, right? You know, sometimes we have limited tickets. Sometimes it just scheduling doesn't work out, right? Now, if I can't do it, there's a lot of other people that probably have known them much longer and seen them when they were a whole lot younger grow up in the church that aren't going to be able to be there either. And so it's a time where they can celebrate with them this big accomplishment. And so we have them come in and do that. And then I call each one up and I share a little bit about each one and talk about their future plans, where they're going to go to college, what they're going to study. And then we present them with a Bible, a really nice study Bible. It's a nice Bible, leather bound Bible. And we give that to them. And then we end with a time of prayer for all of our graduates. We invite their families to come up and pray over them. And that's it. You know, that's our graduate Sunday in a nutshell. You know, but this past Sunday, it was a unique experience for me because the last time I did a graduate Sunday where I actually had like a really, really close relationship, I've been here at Saluda Baptist going on 4 years. So I've done several of these and I've known some of the youth, but it's always been, hey, I've known them for a year. You know, I've known them for a year and a half. You know, I didn't really know them super well, maybe 2 years. But this is the first group where I really got to know a lot of them. And the only other time that I've experienced that was during COVID. And so it was literally like a drive-by celebration. So it wasn't a true graduate Sunday, but this one was really the first time where I've had youth I've known for many, many years, gotten really close with that are going to be aging out. And so it was really, really, you know, a bittersweet time. I mean, it for me, I didn't realize it going into it, but, you know, it was kind of difficult. But at the same time, it was a great moment because you got to see them, you know, you get to see them go on and move on and do bigger and better things, still a part of the church, you know, and that's a firm belief that I have that no matter what your age is, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are a part of the church right now. If you're in the youth group, you're still a church. But I'm just excited to see the adults that they're going to turn into and the things that they're going to do. And so that was just a really awesome moment. And so other than that, you know, The next thing that we have coming up is we're going to celebrate the beginning of summer with the kids. So that'll be next Wednesday. And so if you're listening to this, next week we will not have a podcast because we will not have a regular Wednesday night service. We're going to be celebrating summer. So no podcast next week. We might have a special, you know, shorter edition or something like that. But because, you know, we just have that coming up and I just kind of out of the ordinary. So we won't be doing a lesson. We won't have things to recap. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a fun time of just getting to hang out with the kids, you know, the youth group being together. It'll just be a good time. So anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And just know that if you have any questions you want to add to the podcast, please send them my way. I'd love to answer those questions. And we love you and hope to talk to you next time.